So we're in Parashat Naso, and Bezrat Hashem, in 2 days we're going to celebrate Shavuot. I mean, 3 days we're actually going to be in the shul. And there's something that we do in every festival, that everybody makes time in their business to go to shul in order to hear Birkat Kohanim, the blessing of the priests. And during Chol HaMoed, and Pesach, and Sukkot, this is a big thing, everybody, some people don't go to shul the entire year, but when it comes to Birkat Kohanim, they make sure that they're there. And in this week's parasha, that's one of the many things that we read about, the blessing of the priests. It's a very long parasha. This is actually the longest parasha in the Torah, Parashat Naso. It has 176 verses, psukim, which I'm not a big mekubal, but there's a reason for that. Every parasha has a certain amount of psukim. Very interestingly, the longest chapter in Tehillim, which is Kuf Yudet, 119, has also 176 verses. And another interesting detail is that the longest tractate in the Talmud, Baba Batra, has 176 pages. So again, I don't know the mystical meaning why, but just an interesting detail that I found. So it's a very long parasha with a lot of details that has nothing to do with each other. It goes from one detail to another, over and over, and nothing is connected. And somewhere in between, you find Birkat Kohanim. And for many, many years, many people wondered, what's this point with this bracha? I'm asking a human being to bless me? Hashem blesses me. Why a man? Why a Kohen? What, this sounds a little bit weird. I have to go and a man, a human being, gives me a blessing and not the blessing of man. I know the blessing comes from Hashem. What's going on here? This contradicts the Torah. But then again, this is a big thing, Birkat Kohanim. Every festival we do it, everybody gathers together. So today we want to talk a little bit about Birkat Kohanim. What does it mean, Birkat Kohanim? The essence of the bracha. But mainly, why the Kohanim? You know what it says in the bracha? Ve'samu et shmi al bnei Yisrael, and you will put my name on the sons of Israel, va'ani avarachem, and I will bless you. Meaning that Hashem says to the Kohanim, you put my name on them, but I'm the one who blesses. So in the bracha already it's a contradiction. And many commentaries, they have a big question. Why Birkat Kohanim? And why Dafka the Kohanim? Why a Levi can't give you a blessing? Moishele, that he's an Israel, he can't give you a blessing. Dafka a Kohen, he has a special powers. So we want to learn a little bit. Not a little bit, we want to understand why. Why the Kohanim? And what's the concept of this blessing? So we have to kind of make an order first. First of all, like I said, this parasha is a very long parasha and has many, many different topics in the parasha. The first topic that it starts about the ones who carry the pieces of the Mishkan, which are the Levites. Which one carries which part of the Mishkan? Then the parasha ends with the presents that the Nesim gave. This is something that is familiar to us. Then we read on Hanukkah. Every Nasi, every president of each tribe came with a present. Karat Kesef Achat and so forth. It's familiar to us because we read it on Hanukkah. This is how it ends the parasha. And in between there are order of so many different details that one has nothing to do with the other. At some point, it's talking about the concept we said before, we mentioned it before, about sota. When a husband is suspecting his wife that she's not honest, then he takes her to the Kohen. And after that, it's talking about the whole concept of what's called nazir. Nazir, the translation is a monk, but nazir in the Torah is a person that segregates himself from wine, grows his hair, segregates himself from many different things. So there are many different topics in the Torah, in this parasha, that one has nothing really to do with each other. I mean, I mentioned before that Rashi says that the the before talking about the sota, it's talking about, there's a few psukim talking about the presents that we have to give to the kohen, what's called matnot keuna. And right after that, it's talking about the sota, and right after that, it's talking about the nazir. Rashi says, if you fail to bring the presents to the kohen, then sofra, you will end up coming to the kohen with your wife. If you don't come willingly, you're going to end up coming whether you want it or not. You have to come to the kohen. So Rashi says like that, and more than that, why the nazir after the sota? Because the nazir is not allowed to drink wine. It's about wine. And Rashi says also, if you brought your wife to the kohen, maybe somebody drank a little bit too much wine. Maybe there was too much wine going on. You, her, somebody was drinking too much wine that some of the barriers went loose. But anyways, it's talking about many different topics. But somewhere in between, it's thrown in the whole concept of the Birkat Kohanim. In general, you see that in general, the entire parasha is in the topic of what has to do with the Kohanim. That's in general. But somewhere in between, it has the Birkat Kohanim. You have a question? No? Okay. So first of all, we have to understand what are the Kohanim? Because we have two major questions we want to understand now. A, how come the Kohanim bless us? They're human beings. It's a mediate between us and Hashem. That's not a Jewish concept. More than that, why the Kohanim? Why couldn't they decide somebody else? So the first time that we see the birth, so to say, of the Kohanim is the third child of Leah, whose name is Levi. And when Levi was born, and like any other of the children, any one of the child, the Shvatim, the tribes that were born, it says a verse why the mother decided to call him like that. With Levi, Leah said, "V'apam azot, this time, yelaveh ishi elai. My husband will have to be now accompanying me. He's going to have to be close to me." Why dafka in the third? Why not in the first or second boy? After the third child, now Leah, the mother says, now that I have a third child, my husband is going to have to be close to me. So the explanation says that in the first child and the second child, Yaakov was a busy man. You know, he was working from morning to night for his father-in-law. He was leaving the home at 4 o'clock in the morning, coming home at 12 o'clock at night. His father-in-law was a mean boss. He didn't have time to help his wife. He's like, I'm very sorry, your father-in-law is making me work hard. So the explanation says, and one of the many, an interesting explanation, that when Leah first had her first boy, then she had one hand to hold him. In the meantime, she can do other things. Then she had another boy. Then she had two, one hand for each boy. But then came the third boy, and if he would cry, who would hold him? Therefore, she needed already Yitzchak, Yaakov, to come and help her. But more than that, she already figured out right away, Leah, that if she had three boys, then she's going to have the most of the boys. Therefore, Yaakov is going to have to spend most of the time with her. She already knew she has the most kids from all mothers. She has six kids. So she knew already in the birth of Levi that that's it. I'm going to be the one who has the majority of the kids. Therefore, Yaakov is going to have to be spending most of the time with me. So she called Levi. Based on that, she says, "Apam yelaveh ishi elai." Therefore, she called him Levi. Then Hashem comes and intervenes, and we see a very interesting pasuk that it says, "Val ken kara shmo Levi." And it's different. Go to Parashat Vayetze. You can review it. That each time the mother was the one who named the child. Here it says, "Val ken," and therefore, Kara Shmo Levi. Kara is in the male tense. Kara should have been for the female, and Kara is a man. Here Hashem intervenes, and Hashem says, no, I'm going to call him Levi. Why? Because he's going to be the one who escorts my Aron Kodesh. So Hashem actually called him Levi and not Leah. And he says, down the future, his offsprings are going to escort, or maybe I'm saying the wrong word, escort, by carrying and assembling the Mishkan, they're going to be the ones who are escorting, so to say, me with Aron Kodesh, Al Kem Karash Mo Levi. That's why Hashem says his name is going to be Levi. Later on, we see that Levi had four kids. He had three boys and one girl. The boys were Gershon, Kihat, and Mereri, and the girl was Yocheved, the famous mother of three prophets. And she, Yocheved, had three kids, Miriam, Aaron, and Moshe. Then you have two boys that came out from that, which is Aaron and Moshe, and these are the first boys of Yocheved. These are the first of the chain. Later on, of course, Moshe stayed a Levi, and Aaron became the Kohen. Technically, Moshe should have been the Kohen Gadol. But, you know, the story was that when Hashem came to Moshe, the first time, to Moshe Rabbeinu, and revealed himself in the burning bush, then Moshe says, listen, I can't take the job. I'm very sorry. So he says, why? I'm giving you the best job in history. You're going to become Moshe Rabbeinu. He's like, no, I can't take the job. He tells him, why? He says, because I have an older brother. That's not nice. It doesn't make sense even that I get the job and my brother is older than me. You have to give it to my brother. So Moshe already said, I can't take the job. My brother should be the redeemer. Anyways, Hashem says, no, you are going to be the one. But since you wanted him to get some honorable job, so to say, then Aaron is going to become the Kohen and not you. Technically, Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to be the first, the Kohen Gadol. Later on, it happened that Moshe stayed the king, and he stayed a Levi, and Aaron became the first Kohen, and he became the Kohen Gadol, and from Aaron a Kohen, all the offsprings, all the generations were Kohanim, the children of Aaron. Amram? Amram, some say he came from Binyamin, and some say that he came also from Yehuda. There's a difference of opinions. But Moshe Rabbeinu stayed a Levi, and Aaron became a Kohen. Now, they say that the Kohanim are also always the people of Anshei Chesed, the people of kindness. And we understand, okay, Bemet, Moshe and Aaron are very great individuals, but that's very nice that that's how it started, and Moshe and Aaron are special people coming from a very special lineage. But why the Kohanim, they get the power to bless? Okay, I understand, they're special people, good. But this is not giving me, you know, there are many other good people. Why the Kohanim? So, more than that, we have to kind of analyze the bracha of the Birkat Kohanim. Because it's divided into three. If you noticed, the first bracha, Yivarechecha Hashem v'Yishmerecha, it starts with three words, Yivarechecha Hashem v'Yishmerecha. Then the next bracha, Ye'er Hashem Pana v'Lecha v'Yichuneka, has five words. And the third bracha, Yisa Hashem Pana v'Lecha v'Yasem Lecha Shalom, has seven words. It's going up in the quantities of the words. Now, each part of the bracha, we have to kind of also understand what's this bracha. The first bracha, when it's talking about Yivarechecha Hashem v'Yishmerecha, it says Yivarechecha, Hashem should bless you. The commentaries explain that this is actually blessing you in the physical world. That you're going to have a bracha in your money. That you're going to be blessed with parnasa. It actually says that the blessing will be with the properties, with nechasim. And an interesting hint here is Yevarechecha comes from the word bracha. Everybody knows the word bracha. Bracha comes from the root barech, bet, resh, chaf. All these three letters are called otiyot kfulot. A letter that if you double their numerical value, then, I mean, if you take the letter before that and you double the numerical value, it will get you to this letter. For example, Aleph, the numerical value is 1. If you take 1 plus 1, it will bring you 2. That's Bet. And the Resh, what's the letter before that? It's Kuf. Kuf is 100. If you do 100 plus 100, it gives you 200. That's the Resh. Same thing with Kaf. You take the letter before Kaf is Yud. The numerical value of Yud is 10. If you do 10 plus 10, it will give you 20. So these are the three letters that if you take the letter before the numerical value and you times the two, not one times one, one plus one, doubling it, 100 plus 100, 10 plus 10. These are the three letters that's what you're going to get. The hint here is that Yevarechecha Hashem Vishmerecha is that the bracha in your money, if there's bracha in your money will be worth double. And it means that if you have 100 shekels, you can actually buy with that 100 shekels in the value of 200 shekels. Your money is going to have bracha in it. You're going to buy things in much more. If chas v'shalom, you don't have bracha in your money, then your money is not going to have value to it. You can have a lot of money, but all that money is going to go to waste. It's going to go to the wrong place. There are many people who have a lot of money, but all that money goes to lawsuits and fines and the garage and the dentist, and all the money just goes. There's no bracha in the money. So the first bracha is literally blessing us in our parnasa, that we should have a lot of money, and that the money should be blessed, vishmerecha, that it will be kept, that the money is not going to be wasted. So the first bracha is literally the physical level. The second bracha, it says, Yisa Hashem panav elecha v'ichuneka. Yisa Hashem panav is basically saying that Hashem should just smile at you all the time. All the time Hashem should just smile at you. You know, when somebody smiles at you, usually you'll smile back. And when somebody smiles at you, you're like, you know, imagine you're walking into a work interview, a job interview, and the person is like sitting like this, you're like, but if the person smiles at you, you're like, okay, I'm more relaxed. So Shlomo HaMelech says, Kamayim apanim el apanim, when a person looks into a reflection of water, whatever's in the reflection, if you smile, then the reflection will smile. You're looking at a mirror, if you smile at the mirror, the person in the mirror will smile back at you. So the bracha is that Hashem should smile at you all the time and just be, everything should be positive and good. And the third bracha is, it's basically telling Yisa Hashem panav elecha, basically what it says is that Hashem is always going to forgive us. The blessing is that there's always going to be what's called masapanim. That unfortunately, we do some bad things here and there. I mean, we're human, we're not 100% perfect. And sometimes we can make Hashem angry. Not angry, Hashem doesn't get angry, but we know we get him upset. Like you take any normal parent, they love their child unconditionally, but sometimes the child does something bad, the parent gets upset. So sometimes we do all sorts of things that don't get Hashem so happy. We actually get him pretty upset with our action. The blessing, the third one, Yisa Hashem panav elecha, is that Hashem is always going to find the place to forgive us and be like, okay, fine, I'm willing to forgive you. And there is an explanation. The Baal HaTanya, the Alter Rebbe, explains in one of his discourses that on Rosh Hashanah, we get blessed with everything that we need. How much money we're going to have, who's going to be healthy, and who's going to get married, how many kids, everything we get blessed on Rosh Hashanah. But what happens is, the blessing, we don't know it, we don't realize it, but we get such an abundance on Rosh Hashanah that we're all billionaires, we're all healthy, where everything is good. Hashem just blesses us with an abundance of positive things. But the blessing comes through Olam HaAtzilut. And in Olam HaAtzilut, there's no physicality, there's no money there. There's no concept of health in Olam HaAtzilut. It's all on a spiritual level. But in order for it to come down to us, it has to go through Olam HaAtzilut. Now what happens is, when Olam HaAtzilut meets Olam HaBriya, there's a border. There's border control. And stands in the border control, a mekatreg, a prosecutor, says, whoa, what's this merchandise going down now? I see you have a trailer, a train full of merchandise, where is it coming from? Oh, it's coming from the hands of Hashem. Really? What's the destination? Oh, the destination is for Yankee down there. Really? Let's see his record. Oh, you know what? He wasn't so perfect in the last couple weeks. Because till the blessing has to come, you know, it can take from Rosh Hashanah till going down, can take sometimes some time. He says, you know what? He was a good boy in Rosh Hashanah. He made it to all the minyanim. But after that, I see a few bad things. And then the Mekatreg stops part of the bracha. He says, okay, I'm not going to let the entire cargo go through. I'm just going to get a little bit of the cargo go through. And then the same thing between Olam HaBriyah to Olam HaYetzirah and so forth to Olam HaAsiyah. So by the time it comes here, it's coming in a limited blessing. More than that, I get my entire blessing on Rosh Hashanah, but I have to materialize it. I get a blessing in the spiritual level. Now I have to transform it, so to say, into the physical level. And I have to do that by praying. Every day that I pray, I take one portion from my blessing and I manifest it into the world. So, regardless of that, the blessing stays there. Even if I do something that is not so great, it doesn't go away. It's there. I just didn't get it. So, you know, there's a story that once there was a man and his son became very, very sick. And he went everywhere to find a solution. At some point, he goes to a big rabbi and he tells him, listen, my son is very sick and I went to all the doctors in Moscow, in Poland. I every city that I went to, I went and looked for a doctor and I could not find him. So what should I do? So the tzaddik tells him, you know what? Why don't you go to the city of Annapolis? There's a doctor there. Okay. He goes there, he packs his bags, he travels for 2 weeks. He comes there, he founds like this little town. He comes and tells them, where's the doctor? They're like, doctor? This is a one-horse town. We don't have doctors here. We barely have money for anything. You think we have money to have a doctor here? He says, yeah, but the Rebbe told me there's a doctor here. He said, no, I'm very sorry, there's no doctor here. So he turns around, very disappointed. He comes back to his Rebbe and he tells him, you know, I went there. There's no doctors there. So the Rebbe told him, really? There's no doctor there? So when somebody's sick in that town, who do they go to? So the person tells him, I don't know, they pray to Hashem. So he says, and that's the doctor I sent you to. You went to all the doctors and nobody helped. Did you try to pray to Hashem? No. So, that's something that happens to us. We try to find solution around us with the ultimate doctor. We never think of, wait a minute, the doctor's up there. So, we do get unbelievable abundance of blessing in Rosh Hashanah, but it has to come down, has to manifest into the world. And there are stations where it stops. So the blessing of Yisa Hashem Panav Alecha V'yasem Lecha Shalom is that there shouldn't be any stops. There shouldn't be any mekatreg. It should be flowing. It should come right away, smooth. Shouldn't have any breaks on the way. So first of all, so we have to understand also the essence of the bracha. And it's a very special blessing. When you really internalize and you're thinking about it, it's a very special blessing. But again, we come to the same question, why the Kohanim? Why do they have to bless me? I understand the blessing. Okay. But why the Kohen? Why not somebody else? So there's a very interesting story that many years ago, there was a group of students sitting together. And these students were called the Chevre Kadisha. These students were the students of the Magid from Mazrij. And these were a specific, amazing bunch. It was not some regular students. I mean, you had the Levi Yitzchak from Berdichev, Zusha from Annapolis, Elimelech from Lizhansk, the Baal HaTanya. I mean, each student was one of our pillars in the Torah of Hasidut. They were all students of the Maggid from Mazrich. And they're all sitting there, and they're sitting together, and they're doing what's called a Fabrengen, a Hasidish gathering, and they're all singing a Nigun, like Hasidish Fabrengen is doing, and they're all talking words of Torah, and having a little bit of mashke. Suddenly walks in an individual, shaking, crying, all uptight, and he tells him, "Listen, I'm very, very sick. My situation is very, very bad. Please pray for me." They'll look at him and they say, "Listen, you know, what can we do? We're very simple people." Even though each one of them was a bigger tzaddik than the other, but they're like, "Listen, what can we do? We can't do anything. It's up to Hashem." Stands up the youngest of all of the students, who was Bala Tanya, and he says, "No, we can bless him. We can give him a blessing." And he gives him a special blessing. And later on, when they question him, "What do you mean we can bless him?" So he says, "We can bless him because what a Hasidish Fabrengen can do, a gathering of a few Jews together, what it can do, the angel Michael cannot do. This is how powerful when a few Jews get together in a very joyful and happy energy. So they sing and they maybe take a little bit of mashke to open the heart, but the energy is very joyful. The energy, what can be produced out of such of a gathering, the angel Michael cannot do." And he says, "You know why we can bless him? Because we care. Because we care about him. Because we care about him," this is called in Hebrew, echpatiot, echpat li mimeno, "I care about him. If I bless somebody because I really care about him, that arouses the caring in Hashem. We can't do anything. The blessing comes only from the Kadosh Baruch Hu. But we can arouse it. When Hashem sees that we bless each other, if you ever been to a Hasidish Fabrengen, everybody blesses each other. You should get married, you should have kids, you should have parnasa, you should have less of a yetzer hara, and you bless each other, and you say a lot of lechaims." The Bala Tanya, the older Rebbe, says, "No, we can bless him because we care about him. If we care about him, this will arouse the rachamim, the mercy from the Kadosh Baruch Hu." It's all about caring for each other. That's what triggers the blessing from the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So this is where the answer lies. Why do the Kohanim actually bless us? They don't bless us. They don't do anything. They just talk. It's Hashem that blesses. But stands up the Kohen, and you know what he says? Levarech et amo Yisrael be'ava. I'm going to bless the nation of Hashem be'ava, with love. The Kohen, for whatever reason, it comes from the root of Aaron, is a ish chesed, is inside of him, is a person that is all about kindness. They come from the side of chesed. Some people come from the side of gvura, there's nothing wrong with that. You need gvura, you need severity. Some people come from the side of chesed. I've mentioned many times that in our generation, we really don't know who's Jewish or not. Some are very easy to know. Some people, they think they're Jewish, they're not really Jewish. Some people don't know that they're Jewish, and they're actually really Jewish. Many people evaluate, they say that there's about 16 to 20 million Jews in the world, and I think that we are easily about 100 million Jews in the world. We just don't know where those 80 millions are. Almost any country in the world that you'll go now to, there are millions of Jews. They say that in Spain, after the Inquisition, and before the Inquisition, there are many people, many Jews that just converted. They didn't want to be killed. They say that in Spain, every sixth person is a Jew. They don't even know they're Jew. Go now in America, after the Holocaust, there are millions of Jews. They don't even know they're Jewish. Go in Russia and Europe. So I believe that there are much more than 16 to 20 million. I think that we're easily 80 to 100 million Jews, easily. Just make quick calculations. Look at the quantities. It can be even, and you find out, and you see today that right before Mashiach comes, every day thousands of stories are just popping up with people that they're finding out that they're Jewish. Some people convert, But after their conversion, they actually found out that they were already a Jew. Either way, however you're going to look at it, there's a lot of confusion. Very soon Mashiach is going to come and he's going to start pointing his finger and saying to people, you're Jewish, you're Jewish. On the same concept, on the same idea, there are many people that they think they're a Kohen, and they're not. And there are many people that they don't know that they're a Kohen, and there are, actually. And one way of seeing it, usually, a Kohen is a person of a lot of kindness. If you see a Kohen that goes up to the stage and gives a Birkat Kohanim, and later on swears and curses and very aggressive, there's a question, he might not be a Kohen. If you follow, you'll see that most of the Kohanim are they're humble, they're gentle, these gentle people. And you see on their face even this type of a gentle individual. So I know a family, a very big and respected family, and literally a few years ago they found out they're Levites. They went back somehow and they found out, years, they didn't know that, they found out they're Levites. And I have a good friend who was a Levi for many years. It sounds funny. He was a Levi. And one time we're standing in the synagogue and they're calling out in the calling of the Torah, Levi, Levi, they want to call a Levi. And I tell him, no, why aren't you going up? He's like, I'm not a Levi anymore. I'm like, what do you mean? What, you got fired? What do you mean you got not a Levi anymore? He's like, we all thought we're Levis. A few months ago I got married. The rabbi went back. He wanted to see three generations that were Jewish. And we looked in the ketubot and we found out we're not even Levites. We all thought that we're Levim and we're not even Levim. So there's a lot of confusion. And I can guarantee to you that there are many Kohanim there that they don't even know that they're Kohanim. And you know, there's an amazing story that I heard not too long ago about a certain individual that every time that he used to go to a grave of a tzaddik, he became physically sick. He would throw up. And was sick for a couple of days, and they couldn't understand. They went to any doctor. They could not understand what's going on with him. Till they came to one rabbi and say, when do you get sick? He's like, every time I go to one of the graves of a tzaddik. He says, you must be a Kohen. Because every time you go into the cemetery, it affects you, you become sick. And he would become very sick every time he went into a cemetery. So, very soon, Mashiach is going to come and he's going to start pointing at people, you are a Kohen, you are a Levi, you are not a Kohen, you are not a Jew, you are a Jew. Very soon, he's going to tell us which tribe we belong to.
DNA.
Excuse me?
DNA.
Mashiach doesn't need DNA. Mashiach is just going to smell. They're doing it. I don't know how accurate it is, but Mashiach is going to be much more accurate than DNA. Mashiach is just going to smell the person and tell him which tribe he is and everything about him. This is one, you know, when we say that we have to prepare for the coming of Mashiach, it's not only to, you know, add more mitzvahs and more acts of kindness and so forth. It's also to do the right tshuva, because Mashiach is going to come very soon, the screen is going to be removed. So you want to be prepared that when you're standing in front of the king, you have no dirt inside, so to say. No schmutz, no lies, no cheating, no nothing, because it's going to be removed. And suddenly everybody will going to be like, oh, that's what you're thinking? That's what you thought about me? That's what you really said about me? Oy vavoy. And that's going to be extremely embarrassing for many people. So we see that the Kohanim, their root, where they come from, is chesed. They're people of chesed. And the bracha says that Asher kishanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu levarech et amo Yisrael ba'avah, that we are obligated to bless the nation of Hashem be'ahava. Now here comes a very big question. Where do you find this tzivui, this commandment? This doesn't say anywhere in the Torah that you have to bless the nation of Israel be'ahava. There's no such a tzivui, which is a very big question by our sages and in the commentary. The type of the bracha is asher kidshanu b'mitzvotav, that you sanctify us with your mitzvahs, v'tzivanu, and you commanded us, levarech et amo Yisrael ba'ava, to bless his nation with love. This is a tzivui, right? Where do you find this commandment? There's no such a commandment even, to bless the nation with love. But the Zohar explains, actually the Magen Avraham explains that based on the Zohar, and it says that the point of the Birkat Kohanim The point of the Birkat Kohanim is that it's a blessing and not a prayer. And a prayer gets accepted or not, and a blessing is just brought down. There's a very big difference between a prayer and a blessing. A prayer, you can pray for something that doesn't exist even. And you can actually change the reality with a prayer. But a blessing, you just deliver something that is already there. So in order for the blessing to be delivered, it has to be only with love. It cannot be done with any other way. So when it says, "Asher kidshanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu levarech tamo Yisrael ba'ava," the blessing comes from Hashem. And it's not coming from the Kohanim. Which answers the first question. The Kohanim don't bless us. Hashem blesses us. The Kohen just delivers the blessing. This is a very big difference between a blessing and a prayer. And in order for the blessing to be delivered, it can only be done with Ahava. Only can be done with 100% love. If somebody is very dear to me, and I go and pray for him, my prayer is much more powerful. You know, now it's very common, people send you in a SMS message, in WhatsApp, in Facebook, and please pray for Moshe ben Chaya. He's very sick. Suddenly everybody opens books of Tehillim, they start reading. Which is amazing, Ahavat Israel. But you don't even know who you're praying for. You just say a few verses of Tehillim and that's it, and you get it over with. When it's close to your heart, you every letter there's 3 pounds of tears. The prayer is a completely different prayer. In order for the blessing to work, you have to care. You have to have love. That's where in the gathering of all the Talmidim, the students of the Magid, the old Rebbe says, we can bless that person because we care. It's about the caring. And the whole concept, the Zohar explains that the concept of Birkat Kohanim, why love? Because it can only be delivered when there's love, love and caring. And that is rooted in the Kohen, this love. We see the history with Aaron and Moshe and all the history of the Kohanim. It was about love and caring. And it doesn't mean somebody else doesn't love and care. It doesn't mean that if I'm not a Kohen, I don't have love or I don't have care to another person. But that's their essence. And like we mentioned last week, you know, the order of the parashot didn't come up because of a lottery. There's a certain a sequence, an order. Last week we learned about the separation of all the tribes. And we question why the separation. And we explain how we are different. We're individuals. And we have to shine in our own light, but we're still united. Same thing here. One person is coming from Tzad HaChesed, one person comes from Tzad HaGvurah. And the Kohanim, for whatever reason, they come from the Tzad of the Chesed, and they have it rooted in the Neshama, this love, this care, to actually bring the blessing. So it's not that Hashem is blessing. It says, Emor Lehem. If you're looking at the Birkat Kohanim, we say it every morning. It says, Emor Lehem. Emor means say to them. You don't say, Yevarechecha. It's talking about the Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Kohanim, they just say the Amira, Emor. They're just saying the blessing, but they're actually just delivering the message from Hashem. Interesting here, you see that who was the first Kohen Gadol who said the Birkat Kohanim? Was Aharon. Aaron has the same letters of the word Nireh. Nireh means to reveal, to show. That when a Kohen says, gives the blessing, or actually brings the blessing, is that the blessing is going to be in the level of Nireh. If you notice, the Lubavitch Rebbe always used to say in the word, Batov HaNireh VeHanigle. When he used to bless people, he always added a few words. And he would bless whatever blessing he would give, and he would add batov in the good, banireh vanigle, banireh that it's going to be revealed, and nigle it's going to be opened. So nireh comes from the word letters of Aharon, that the Kohen has the ability that the blessings will be revealed, it will be out in the open. The blessing is there. Two words? No, in the nigle nireh is different. No, nir'eh is that you actually see it, the nigleh that it's revealed. Because I can see something, this is nir'eh. Revealed that everybody sees it. That it's revealed to everything. Everybody. So there's a very big difference between Nire and Nigle. Also, Nire comes from the Chush of Riyah, of seeing, and Nigle is Gilui, is a revelation. So, you know, I can see something, I can be a very sensitive and individual, and I can see something. I can see, okay, that person's a liar, that person is nice. I see it, but it's not revealed. And sometimes, you know, where do you see it? Well, you have a teacher. The teacher stands in front of the class. He sees that one is lazy. This one is shovav, is a little bit fresh. This person is a student. He sees it, but it's not revealed. So there's a very big difference between seeing something that is nir'eh, that I can see it, and something that is revealed. I'll give you a different example. On a personal level. You know, a wife can come and tell the husband, how do I look? You look good. Why don't you tell me that? Because, I don't know why. Why don't you tell me that you love me? Do you love me? Yeah, of course I love you. Why don't you tell me that? I don't see it. Yeah, but I do love you. But why? I don't see it. So Nireh, the husband, he sees it. You look pretty. But it's not nigle. The woman, the wife, doesn't feel that her husband really loves her. Or she doesn't. It's not revealed that he thinks that she's pretty. Sometimes with a little reaction. Wow, you look great. So this is one example out of many. Publicized, yeah. So this is one example out of many. There's a very big difference between nir'e and nigle, seeing and revealed. So the Lubavitch Rebbe, always when he added a blessing, he would always add batov, it should be good, So nir'e comes from the words, from the letters, the same letters of Aharon. Aharon was who brought the first time the Birkat Kohanim. He didn't bless the people. The Kohen doesn't bless. He just brings it to the level of nir'e, that it should be revealed. It should be seen, and it should be revealed. And therefore, the Birkat Kohanim is, so to say, the shortcut, or to go around the Mekatreg. Based on the teachings of the Baal Tanya, when he explains that between the worlds, between each world is a Mekatreg, a prosecutor that will stop the bracha, the Birkat Kohanim goes around it. You skip the Skitrog. That's why you say Isa. Why? Because the Kohen blesses the nation with love, then the power of the bracha, it's like a shortcut. It's a jump above the mekatreg. That's why the last one ends with Hisa Hashem Panav Elecha, that the blessing rip will go around. It's constantly going to be blessing, even though we do unwanted things. It should still be a revealed blessing. One thing to take out of that is, yes, that the Kohanim, and most important to know, they don't bless us. They just deliver the blessing. It says emor lehem. Emor comes from the word amira. The Kohen just says it, but he actually brings it. And there's a very big difference that you have to understand, the difference between a prayer and a blessing. The blessing is already there. Many people, they go and they say, and they go to a tzaddik to get a bracha. And some people say, what, I'm going to go to a man? Flesh and blood to give me a bracha? No, this is totally against the Torah. A man cannot give me a bracha. You're right, the man doesn't give you a bracha. The tzaddik is just delivering it. He's just a vessel through the bracha can come to. The tzaddik doesn't give you the bracha. Shem gives you the bracha. And this is a very fine line, you gotta know. A person doesn't give you anything. It's Hashem that gives that, but it has to be sometimes delivered through the right person. And the tzaddik is the connector, the mediator between the Hashem and the person. He's becoming, more to say, the kli, to give you the bracha, the messenger boy, the delivery boy. But one thing you want to learn out from that is that we as human beings have such an unbelievable power that if I bless somebody with love, then it has such a power that I can arouse this blessing from above. You don't have to be a Kohen for that. If I really care about somebody, and that's why I gave the example before, when you get a chain email, please say Tehillim for so-and-so, you say that, which is good, it's amazing. More people say the better. But when it's close to your heart, you don't just say it, you cry it. You mean it. You really want it to happen. But unfortunately, we only do it when it's somebody very close to us. You don't cry the same way for somebody that you don't know. And really what we need to take from that is that we need to have this feeling towards any other individual that can use our help. And if my brother, not my blood brother, but we're all brothers and sisters, we all funnel into the same father. We all come from the exact same place. Go all the way back to Noah already. Go all the way back to Adam HaRishon. I'm not talking about Abraham. I'm talking about our first father. We're all brothers and sisters. And if we really care about each other, what did the older Rebbe say, the Baal HaTanya? Ki echpat lano. Because we care. If I really care for somebody, then I can make a change. If I don't care, it's just words. Emolem. It's just words. It's very easy to say. Like with the example of the husband and wife. I'll be with you in a second. It's very easy to say, I love you. Yeah, big deal. Words are very easy. Show it. Do something. Show that you really care. So, A, we want to understand in regards to Birkat Kohanim, the essence of it. We understand where it comes from. B, we want to understand when we know that it's Hashem that blesses, not the Kohanim that blesses. It's the actual bracha comes from Hashem, but the Kohen is the one who's able to bring it. More than that, I want to understand that there's a very big difference between a prayer and a blessing. Blessing is already there. It just needs to be delivered. A prayer, I can actually change the situation. A person can be sick, and with a strong prayer, a person will be healed. A woman can be barren, and with a prayer, she'll have a baby. A person can be single. With a prayer, the person will find their other half. A prayer changes the reality. It does a new existence. But a blessing is already there. Just needs to be brought down. And the way to bring the blessing is through love and care. And even though it was assigned to the Kohen, to the priest to do that, it says on us, v'tiyu li atem mamlechet kohanim v'goy kadosh, that we're all in the level of a Kohen. I might not go on the stage on the festival to do Birkat HaKohanim, but I have it in me. And it means that I have in me the point that I can care to another individual that I don't even know. But to have the real caring, and the real love, to be able to bring the blessing on somebody else. And if each and every one of us does a little bit of that caring, brings it out to the surface, to the level of nigle, not to the level of nire, to the level that is revealed, that I do one act a day that I care about somebody that's not in my close circle, then I can guarantee to you that we're going to be seeing and receiving the ultimate Birkat Kohanim in Beit HaMikdash. That's what we're missing. We want to receive the Birkat Kohanim from the real priests in the Beit HaMikdash, and we will go back to that. Next Rosh Hashanah, in half a year, Bezrat Hashem, we can be in Beit HaMikdash and get Birkat Kohanim in Sukkot. But we need to initiate something. And that action is increasing this act of kindness. And the act of kindness is not me delivering now food to somebody poor. Yes, that is an act of kindness. The real act of kindness is that I do something that I show that I care about somebody else that I don't even know. That's the real caring. And when I do that, that arouses that feeling with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. That He would want to give us the ultimate blessing, v'yisa Hashem panav alecha v'yasem lecha shalom. That Hashem should put on us the ultimate blessing, which is peace. And the peace will be with the coming of Mashiach, of course. And we should learn from that what we really need to concentrate on. And if each and every one of us can do one act of kindness, that I really care about somebody that I don't even know, once a day. I mean, you know, let's start with once a week. But an action that I do something that's showing. Not just believing. Yeah, I care about my kids, but what do you really do? I care about Am Yisrael. Yeah, but so do something. Bezrat Hashem, we do that. This should reveal to us the ultimate blessing from Hashem. It would be with the coming of Mashiach and should happen very soon. We should be merited to get the ultimate Birkat HaKohanim from Aaron HaKohen and his children. And Bezrat Hashem, we should see it with our own eyes very soon. Have a beautiful, beautiful week.